keep please keep them in prayer this evening. But at this time, we would solicit an interest in your prayers for the time we are before you. This morning, I was pretty certain on and settled on what I would have a desire to speak on, but maybe you ought not to go to breakfast with a couple of deacons when you're getting ready to speak before God's people, because they do ask some good questions. And the question that was asked this morning as we were sitting there, and it surely did bring up some wonderful conversation sitting there at that little restaurant that we go to. But the question was, when was Peter converted? And speaking specifically from the passage in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, and in Luke 22, we have the time when Jesus set forth before them the communion service. And, you know, Jesus had went through, given them that wonderful example of washing one another's feet. And it just didn't take very long after that that you find out. You find out that there's some strife among them. You know, it doesn't take long. It just doesn't take long sometimes for God's people to find something to worry about and to wonder about. But in the 23rd verse, it says, and these are the apostles begin to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that should do this thing. And Jesus had set before them that one of them would be betrayed. But and then at the same time that they were wondering if, who it was, they said, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. You know, we need to just stop and get ourselves out of the way. I don't know about you, but it seems at the end of a foot washing service, when God's people have come together and have exampled that great love that the Lord exampled and told us in that same passage, that I give you a new commandment, love one another as I've loved you. You know, the love of God is a sacrificial love. And when we present ourselves, as it says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's by God's mercies that we can even approach unto God. But he says, by the mercies of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, the acceptable before God sacrifices to love one another as he has loved us. So they, the Lord talks to them a little bit about this. And then in the 31st verse, Lord being our helper, we're going to spend a few moments here. I'm not going to wear you long this evening. And it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. This verse here makes me very thankful for the King James Bible. And the reason it makes me very thankful for the King James Bible is the pronoun here used is you. And you in Scripture is talking about more than one. So we know here the first part of this Scripture, the Lord is getting Simon's attention. He's getting that attention emphatically by saying his name twice, but I guarantee you the others that were there were listening. And it says, Satan hath desired to have you. Well, look back what I just read. Look at what Satan is already causing them to have, that strife and the division, by number one, wondering if they're the ones that are going to deny the Lord, or number two, who is the greatest among us. You know, that is a problem with our flesh because we want to be popular. And at the same time, we want to be in charge. But that's a thing of the flesh. And because of those fleshly desires, we know that there is that spirit of Satan working among us. And he says that he may sift you as wheat. He is causing strife and he's causing troubles among all the disciples. And all of them are being stirred up. All their inward, their fleshly desires are stirring within them because they don't want to be the bad guy, but they want to be the good guy. They want to be in charge. So as we look at this and we see that there are so many around about us in our day and time, and I've been speaking here at Madera concerning how subtle things come in among us, how subtle. And remember, all the way back in Genesis, it talks about that serpent being more subtle. You know, Satan doesn't come at you with both barrels and try to dump everything among you on you all at once, but it's just a slow changing and progression. And I've been thinking in my mind and just examining myself and have shown myself that I have compromised a lot of things in my life over the last 20 years that 20 years ago I would not just have had anything to do with it. But now there's so many of those things that we live among, and instead of standing up and saying those things are wrong, you get in a comfort zone and you quit even acknowledging these things are going on around you. You get in your little house there and you try to shut out all these things. But these things that are going on out there, these subtle things, they're always going to end up coming back and stirring things up. And especially among God's people that have been stirred up by the ungodly things that bombard us on a daily basis. And this is Satan working on us just to tell us that, you know, that we're more than we are. But Scripture and the Lord tells us constantly to look upon others as greater than ourselves. And those two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the royal commandment. This is the commandment that Jesus in Scripture tells us is above all to just love one another. And not love, and when we love one another, place one another above us, old Satan is not satisfied, is not happy with us. And he has that desire to sift us, to remove the good things that we are blessed of our Father, to remove them from us, that we would live a life that is contrary to his will. But the 32nd verse here, it changes. It now goes from talking to the group, the you, that are all involved in this. But now the Lord is going to look, I believe, right at Peter. And just as the Lord looked at him here later on, right in the eye, but it says, but I have prayed for thee. And again, the word thee in Scripture is talking is a individual, personal pronoun talking about who object of who he's speaking to. So right here it says, but I have prayed for thee. Now I want to look at this scripture tonight as a scripture that would comfort our hearts and give us confidence and in the love that Jesus and our God has for his people, that everlasting love that he has. Because if you look at this for a moment, it's Jesus is saying, I have prayed for thee. Now, Jesus tells us in the 11th chapter of the book of John, as he's praying about Lazarus and raising him, one of the things he says there in the 42nd verse is, thou hearest me always. So when Jesus prays to the Father, and the Father says, Jesus says that the Father hears him always, whatever prayer is being prayed is going to be answered in the affirmative. well-being and of God, that his will would be done. So he's saying here, I have prayed for thee. Also, James tells us concerning prayer, says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, there is none other more righteous, because Jesus Christ is the righteous. And when he prays fervently for one of his, you know that that prayer is going to be answered. He prayed there in the garden. It says he prayed as if it were, and rolling off of his head as if it were great drops of blood. It was not blood, brethren. It was sweat. But it was beating up, and fervency carries with it the thought of a rolling boil. And if you put a pot of water on the stove and it just starts to boil, and the bubbles come up as it's boiling, that is the picture that you look at when one is praying fervently as the Lord prayed there in the garden. But here's that same one praying for Peter. Now he's praying for something specifically here for Peter. He prays for Peter. It says that thy faith fail not. Now, it doesn't say here that he would never be, he would never lose focus, that he would always do what's right, that he would live the perfect life of faith, but it says that his faith would fail not. And what it's talking about here, that he was going to have some tests. There was going to be tests of faith, and we read all through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews about different tests of faith. And sometimes Peter's faith was going to be tested, and it wasn't going to turn out well. Right here in this very chapter, after this interaction with the Lord, and Peter is already telling the Lord, no, Lord, I'll go to, and says here, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Peter immediately gets this response from the Lord. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So here is Peter already having a major faith meltdown. He's already, the Lord is, you know, he wants to go to death. I believe he was ready to do these things. And it shows he was ready, because later on in the garden, what's he do? He takes a sword, takes one of those two swords, and he cuts off that the ear of that centurion. Peter was ready to go with him, as he said here. But the Lord, also knowing all things that were to transpire, told him that this would also occur. And we know that occurred, that Peter, Peter did deny the Lord those three times, just as the Lord had told him that he would. But he prayed for him. Now we know that his faith, as he goes forward, is not going to utterly fail. As we look over in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. And talking about when you forsake something, that you utterly put it away. You do not look upon it anymore. And Peter, his faith never reached that point where he utterly turned away from the Lord, that he forsook the Lord in all matters. So his faith did not fail, not, nor, I believe, could it have failed. It could not have failed because the Lord had prayed for him that it fail not. The next part of this, it says, and when thou art converted. I love that word, when. Again, here is a word that is showing forth the all-knowing Father, his Son, who knows all things. He knew that at some time Peter was going to be converted. Now, what is conversion? Conversion is turning back to. And we know from Scripture, a couple of accounts of Scripture with Peter, that Peter in the was it the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and the Lord, and we'll just turn over there and let's read this passage, 16 and 30. 16 and 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now here's Peter's testimony. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. There, you look at this answer. There is no doubt in Peter's answer here that Jesus is the Christ. He is that one that was foretold to come. He is that the Savior that was born of woman. He was the Savior that would be the one that would save his people from their sin. And he was the Son of the living God. And he believed in a living God. And this evening, I trust we believe in that one true and living God. And look at what Jesus' answer to him says. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Brethren, it is a blessing in our lives when we can be assured of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior. It is a blessing that we could believe on his name this evening, that lifts us up from the time and transient things of this world, that we could look beyond the trials and troubles, that we could look beyond COVID, we could look beyond all the ungodly things that mankind wants to throw in and call evil good and good evil. But it says here, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. It says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I want us to understand that that was Peter's mindset. That was what Peter believed, and I believe Peter believed that from his very heart as he spoke those things and testified with his lips that Jesus was the Christ. But there's coming a time here where Peter turns away from that very statement he makes. There's a time here where he's questioned, do you know this man? No. He says, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And you see, at this point in time, Peter has taken that testimony of how he set forth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's look in another place. Let's look in the book of John this evening. In the book of John, in the sixth chapter, in the Gospel of John, in the sixth chapter, again, he says here in the sixth chapter, in the 64th verse, let's get that, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That is the same thing that Jesus had told Simon Bar-Jonah when his Father revealed these things. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How many of God's people do we know of in our day and time because the truth of the gospel, the truth of scripture, the truth of God's word, that they just can't align their lives to it. So they put it away from them and walk with it no more. And this was going on in the time of Christ as Christ was himself teaching these things. These were hard things, but they walked with him no more than Jesus under the 12. Will ye also go away? Says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, with those two verses, we could see what the, account is transpiring here when the Lord is saying, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, that his faith at some point is going to be that is going to come forth in a mighty way. And when thou art converted, Peter right now with your frame of mind that you're going to deny me before men, there's going to be this, the cock is going to crow when you do this. And Peter was just sure that that would not happen, but it happened. And when that happened, Peter, he was in a place and a position where he went from testifying Jesus was the Christ to a place where he denied Jesus altogether. And when conversion is to get back to where you were. What needed to happen with Peter? At that point, Peter needed to repent from in his mind of denying Christ, that he would repent from those things that he did. And when he repented from those things and he converted, he came back to where he was, believing that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that is the conversion specifically talked about here in this passage. And when thou art converted, it's telling Peter that he had something specifically that was going to happen, specifically that was going to test his faith. And although, Peter, you are going to have a failure in this test, and I'm praying that you come through this test. And I've prayed to the Father, and the Father always hears me. And a fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we get to that point, Peter, you can get back to preaching the gospel and strengthening thy brethren. Brethren, if we live our lives showing forth that we don't believe in Jesus, then we are no help to one another. Before we are able to help one another this evening, brethren, we need to go forward in our lives and not make it a secret to anybody that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. When we do not manifest this in an open way, we're not manifesting that Jesus is our Savior. We're not manifesting to those around about us how much our Savior loved us, that he commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There are many things in Scripture and the truths of Scripture that are hard for us to fully understand. And there were many things that the apostles themselves didn't quite understand. And when you get into the book of Luke in the final chapter, and as he was talking to him and asking him why they're troubled and why do their thoughts arise in his heart, behold my hands and my feet. He showed himself, the resurrected Savior showed himself to these disciples, and he ate with them, and he spoke of those things that concerning him. And in the 45th verse, brethren, it's wonderful. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And it said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This evening, do we believe in a resurrected Savior? That is something that so many do not want to come to grips with, because they cannot find anything like that in nature. Brethren, our Lord did, in fact, and he was risen from the dead by the Father. For our blessed assurance, as he tells us in Acts chapter 17, also we've been begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here it is, brethren. He's talking to them and telling them that they're to go to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, something mighty is going to happen. And brethren, that has happened. That's what happened over there when we go into the second chapter of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. But remember, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, isn't it wonderful this evening? And you read John chapter 17, and I behoove you to go read that, and you'll find several places in there where Jesus prayed for his disciples, but he also prayed for all those that would believe on his name. So this evening, brethren, as the Lord himself prays for us in our lives, intercesses between the Father for us in our lives, that when our faith is tested and there's those times that we're going to fail in those tests, but he prays for us that our faith fail not, that brethren, that we would be converted from what caused our faith to our acts of faith at that moment in time to fail us in those times, but we have the Lord himself praying these things on our behalf. And this evening, as we think about that conversion there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, Peter testified that Jesus was Christ. He had a faith issue. But finally, we know Peter, his faith was so strong at the end of his life that he told those as he was crucified. He said, don't crucify me. I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. And he was crucified head down. So we know that Peter, his faith was returned. And brethren, finally, there is but that faith that returned to Peter as he testified of those things. Remember this from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Why is that, brethren? Because one day there's coming a day we won't need our faith anymore. It's going to be swallowed up in reality. We're not going to need hope anymore. It's going to be swallowed up in reality. But what is important to the Lord? What's important to the Lord is charity, God's sacrificial love and action, that we would love one another as he's loved us, as he prays for us. Let us continue to pray for one another, calling upon his name. And Jesus tells us, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father, it'll be yours. And brethren, this evening, let us pray that Zion would receive the blessings of God this evening. Brethren, we solicit your prayers from out here in California. During this time, we've had something occur that historically doesn't occur in times of great trials and tribulations. Usually you see an ingathering of people coming to call upon the Lord for his help. But brethren, we've had churches close out here in California during this time. But brethren, please pray that the Lord would raise up servants, that he would raise up those that would come to hear about the good things that God has done for us, that would be able to take the truth as it is in Christ Jesus and be encouraged by it. And I believe this was an encouraging scripture this evening, that the Lord prays for us, that our faith fail not. And he says, and when thou art converted, the Lord knows all about us. We, from time to time, conversion is something that we go through at different times and different stages in our lives, as we go up and down the hills of life in our journey. But the Lord would have us not to have those hills and valleys so often, that we would walk steadily with one steady aim of looking to fulfill that one commandment, to love one another. With Jesus on our side, brethren, if God be with us, who can be against us? Thank you for your kind attention this evening.